We're turning again in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Let's just read verses 13, 14, and 15 once again. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." And it's that last phrase in verse 15 that I would like to underline for you this evening. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." We're going to have prayer and then we'll bring the message. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word and for the Bible open before us in our hand. We thank thee for the privilege of reading it, of considering it. We pray that grace might be given to hear it and to lay it up in our hearts, enabling us not to sin against the Lord. Father, we do thank thee for this inspired word. The Lord Jesus told us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Lord, make it a sharp, two-edged sword. Grant, O God, that this word which is living and eternal might be written upon our hearts, and that we might benefit and be encouraged, because we ask it in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Here we have what I call commanding the impossible. Commanding the impossible. Exodus chapter 14 reveals Israel had not been marching in the wilderness very long before a great crisis arose. And oftentimes it's like that in the Christian life. We might not have long left Egypt, as it were, our sin. We may not have long been saved until there is a crisis and we face a difficulty and we come up against a trial. And I'm glad the Lord has a word for us, just as he had a word for Israel all those many years ago. And it's a word of encouragement, and it's a word that is forward, not backward. Not sideward, but forward. And that's God's plan for each one of us, that we go forward in our Christian lives. And I trust that this year, 2017, from this first day of it, that we will be determined that we will move forward in our Christian faith, in our love for Jesus Christ, in our service for the Master, in our witness for the Lord, and that we will be moving forward with greater dedication and commitment to the things of God. Going forward, not backwards, not even sidestepping the issue, but going straight on with our eyes toward the Lord, looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now that's a goal that we should all set before us, looking unto Christ, looking unto the one who died for us, who shed his blood for us, who saved us, who reconciled us to the Father, and the one who will bring us home to glory. Thank God he's coming again. Here we have Israel in the wilderness, journeying from Egypt, and they approach the Red Sea, and as they do so, they could hear the thundering hoofs of Pharaoh's chariot horses. Turning around, they see a vast Egyptian army hotly pursuing them, following after them, and they cry to God, and they also complain against the man of God. You notice that in the chapter. When they lifted up their eyes, they didn't see the Lord, unfortunately. They saw the enemy. Instead of lifting up their eyes to God, little wonder they feared and they trembled and they complained and they moaned. Little wonder they were tempted to go back to Egypt and desired to serve the Egyptians rather than serve the Lord. And my dear friends, tonight, it's like that with us. When we lift up our eyes and we see the enemy, we see the havoc wrought by the enemy, we see the march on of the enemy, we're discouraged. And the thought perhaps of turning back, the thought perhaps of complaining, of moaning and grumbling, enters into our thoughts. It ought not to be. And here we find a company of God's people, and they're looking in the wrong direction. They lifted up their eyes and turned around and looked behind. Instead of lifting up their eyes and looking forward and looking to the Lord, who wanted them to march on and to go forward, let us not commit the same mistake or sin as of Israel, but may we keep marching on in the light of God's precious truth. And so they cry to the Lord, and they complain against the Lord's servant. And Moses responds in verse 13. And what a word he speaks. What a word to still the hearts of the quaking. What a word to settle those who are disturbed. What a word to comfort those who are distressed. Listen to it. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord today. My friend, what a word. And what a word comes to you today. Fearing the future, quaking because of the uncertainties of tomorrow and the weeks and months ahead. Our times are in God's hand. Oh God, we wish them there. Pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best would seem to thee, thou art sovereign, and in thy providential dealings with us, our times are in thy hand. And then after Moses speaks this great word of stillness to them, the Lord declares in verse 15, Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. A seemingly impossible command, for the Red Sea blocked the way before them. And there, humanly speaking, there was no way forward. I want to remind you of three things tonight. We have God's itinerary, that is the direction he brought these people. It was God's itinerary, the path that they traveled. God's intention for them, that they move on. And God's intervention. In the time of great difficulty, heaven intervenes on behalf of his people. God's itinerary. What route, we ask, did God map out for his people Israel? They were progressing well towards the promised land when suddenly God instructed them to veer sharply to the right towards the Red Sea. Had they maintained their original course, they would have avoided the sea and marched on dry land. No doubt, some of them in that large company wondered why the route had been altered. And sometimes we wonder in our own lives why our pathway seemingly has been changed. Remember, the path that we journey, being God's pathway, is God's itinerary for us. It's his plan for us. And that plan doesn't cause us to avoid troubles. It will lead us towards troubles and difficulties, but it will lead us through victory over those difficulties, past those difficulties, until new ground and higher ground. How good is the God we adore? This new course was perilous, for it entangled them in the land. Pharaoh with his 600 chosen chariots, we read about here, approaches Israel encamping by the Red Sea. They're trapped as far as the human eye could see. Israel is trapped here. On one side, Pi-hahiroth stood with its range of steep, sharp, impregnable rocks. It was a great mountain. No way they could get over that with its sharp and jagged rocks and steep places. On the other side was Migdol and Baal-zephon, lined with fortresses and garrisons. No way through there either, it would seem. And in front of them lay the Red Sea, and behind them was Egypt, the wilderness, and Pharaoh's hosts. Israel was unarmed, moreover. They hadn't fought a battle before. They were not trained in armory. They were an undisciplined lot and unskilled in war. And how are they to meet this dreadful situation? They could neither fight nor flee. They were trapped. Death seemed inevitable. In fearful distress, they murmur, "Why, Lord? Why, Moses?" They forgot that it was the Lord who had led them to the Red Sea, directed their path, and led them to go right instead of straight on, which brought them to the sea. They forgot all about that. The situation they found themselves in was as deplorable as they could imagine. Surely, if they were in the center of God's will, he would make a way of escape for them. And they were in the center of God's will, and they didn't know it, or at least they didn't recognize it or give God honor for it. And when we're in the center of the will of God, in the path that God has mapped out for us, God has a way for us. He has a way through all the obstacles. He has victory planned out. Believer, are you troubled on every side this evening? Have you troubles behind and before, and on either side? Are you shut in, as it were, to hard circumstances? Why fall out with God over it when you can call upon his name, when you can listen to his voice, when you can hear his word and be encouraged and press on? The easiest path is not always the best path. And how many believers have chosen the easy way out of difficulty, and it's not always the best way? Remember that your steps are ordered by the Lord, and you will be upheld by the great God of heaven. What a God he is. God's itinerary, God's path. He's leading us. And when we love him with all our heart and we want to serve him with all our strength, then he's directing us and he's guiding us all the way. God's itinerary. But then there is God's intention. And the intention is that through this crisis, God purposed to teach Israel some important lessons. That was his intention. To teach them some important lessons. They must learn not to look exclusively to their circumstances. So must we. We must learn that lesson. Sometimes it's a hard one. Sometimes it's difficult. They must learn not to look exclusively to circumstances. We read in verse 10 of the chapter, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. It was then that Moses exhorted the people in verse 13, fear ye not, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. In other words, these Egyptians to whom you are constantly looking, and so much you dread, by the end of this day will be forever gone. Just think of that. Here they were, looking to the Egyptians, dreading them, and before the day would be out, the enemy would be gone, out of sight, completely gone. Moses was urging them to get their eyes off the Egyptians. He was urging them to turn their sight Godward. Little did Israel know that God was ordering their steps so that their enemy might receive a great destruction and a great defeat. Stonewall Jackson, one of the great leaders of the Civil War in America, with his sister-in-law one day, crossed the boiling torrent just below Niagara Falls. He did so in a small boat, rowing boat, manned by two oarsmen. The lady became terrified by the swirling of the waters, believing that they were going to sink. She feared greatly. Jackson seized her by the arms and turned to one of the men who was the oarsman, and he asked, how often have you crossed here? And the oarsman replied, often, sir. I've been doing it constantly for 12 years. And Jackson asked, did you ever meet with an accident? Oarsman says, no, sir, never. Never did we capsize. Never did we lose any life. And then turning to the lady, Jackson said to her, you hear what the boatman says? And unless you think you can take the oars and row better than he can, Then be still and trust the oarsman. And with that, the lady was calmed and was still, and the journey ended satisfactorily. Any anxious believer at times acts as though they could steer their own ship better than the master himself. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that your life's ship, that you could steer it, and you would never fall upon rocks? You'd never become grounded. You'd never enter danger. I think not. The master of the seas has safely led his people for thousands of years. The Lord has not failed. Let us rest calmly. Let us rest confidently in him this year. Israel must also learn that lesson. Let us learn it. Not to look to circumstances, but look to the Lord. He is in control. We learn also that God's people are to ever go forwards. It is God's will that we move forward. The Lord declared, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." How shocked the people must have been when the divine order came for them to march on forward. How could they? How could they? The sea was before them, and it seems an impossible command. And yet, God gave it. It wasn't Stonewall Jackson who gave it, or any other great military leader or statesman in the world. It was the God of heaven who gave this command, seemingly an impossible one in the eyes of men. The Christian's watchword ought ever to be forward. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Let us never turn back. David Livingstone, having broken fresh ground in Africa, wrote to the directors of the London Missionary Society under whom he was serving, telling what he had done and what had been achieved, and hoping it would meet with their approval. At the same time, he said to them that he was at their disposal, ready to go anywhere, provided it was forward. What an attitude. David Livingstone, the great missionary explorer, ready to go anywhere if it was forward. He wasn't prepared to turn back. He was a soldier of the Lord, and he pressed on. And despite past successes or past failures, let us go forward. Go forward in the increase of Christian grace. Let us increase in the grace of Christ. Let us increase in the loveliness of Christ. Let us go forward in the disposition of Christ. Let us go forward in the performances of our Christian duties. What are those duties? Every Christian has a duty to God and a duty to their fellow men. Let us go forward in these duties and not turn back. Are you progressing, dear friend? Are you progressing in Bible study? Are you progressing in secret prayer and in public prayer? Are you progressing in your worship of Christ? Are you progressing in your service of the Lord's house? Friend, these are all important questions, and they apply to every one of us. None of us are exempt. Oh, these are duties. Duties that we must go forward in and not backward. And it grieves one's heart when we see people not going forward in these things, but backwards. Backwards. The church suffers as a result. God's people suffer. And the servants of the Lord suffer when there's no forward movement amongst the people of God. Let us see these things happening in the days which lie ahead. We must go forward because our Heavenly Father commands it. It may be commanding the impossible, but God commands it. Christ enforces it. And the Holy Spirit moves us to it by his promptings. And those promptings ought never to be quenched in the heart of a believer. Going forward. Forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread, we will push ahead. He'll roll the sea away. Many of God's eminent saints show us the blessing of going forward. Abraham went forward. Jacob, in spite of his twisted nature, went forward. Moses went forward. Joshua went forward into the promised land. David went forward in taking Hebron. And so many more. Paul went forward over land and sea, carrying the gospel, preaching Christ, establishing churches. He was going forward. It was the Lord's will that he should do so. And it wasn't until Israel stopped that they discovered the problem. They stopped, and then they saw the problem. And my friend, when we stop on our Christian path and we're not marching on, it's then that we see the difficulties. It's not God's will that we turn back. It's not even his will that we stand still in the Christian life. But we keep going on and pressing on the upward way. Israel passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, we read in this chapter. And the Holy Spirit expresses this truth four times in these chapters in Exodus, emphasizing the truth that Israel passed over on dry land. It was a real miracle. It was real power. It was real divine intervention. For the Lord intervened in Israel's life. And while an unlimited supply of divine power is available to us, we need to apply that power in order to succeed in our Christian life. May the Lord enable us to go forward. During the American Civil War, an English ship was boarded by the crew of a Confederate cruiser. They drew out their swords to fight with the English ship. The English captain stepped forward and he said, "Gentlemen, I am a simple sailor, but do not forget that behind this flag that I hold in my hand lies all the power of the army and navy of England. If you strike me, you strike the might of England." We are only simple men and women. But behind us is the power of the Almighty. Behind us is the power of heaven. Behind us is the omnipotent arm of Almighty God. Behind us is the one who has never lost a battle, who has never lost a soul. Behind us is one who instructs us to go forward. May he intervene in your life tonight. May he intervene in mine. And may he make this year a very special year in his will. Of each one of us moving on and going forward, looking unto the Lord, lifting our eyes from the things of earth and sense and time, and seeing the one who gives us the victory again and again. We may but be simple men and women, but engaged in the Lord's work, we do not stand alone. The might of heaven's grace is behind us. Why then should we fear? Why should we fear the enemy? Go forward, and God will grant you a wonderful deliverance for his glory and for his honor in the days which lie ahead. Gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we thank thee that there is a word in season in the book for all of thy people all of the time. And Lord, at the start of this year, help us to take these words and to go forward with Christ. Lord, we know that with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm, for we know that the Lord Jesus Christ doth not fail. Lord, make us to be good soldiers of the King. Help us to lift high his royal banner. And grant, our God, that marching on will keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.